Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is, as usual, Thomas Birtel calling from Vienna, and I have the pleasure today to present to you STRABAG's first half year's figures of 2017. I trust that, as usual, you have our presentation in front of you, and I would like to start with the top-line development in the first 6 months of 2017. This is page number three. We generated an overall output volume of 6.3 billion euros in the first half of this year. This means an increase of 10%, and it is a record high for the company. The upwards trend was driven especially by the German transportation infrastructures business, but also by a number of mid-sized building construction and civil engineering projects in our second home market in Austria. Our order backlog reached a further record high of now 16.5 billion euros, which means a plus of 7% versus the 30th of June 2016. Contributing to this development once again were numerous new large orders from the public sector and the industry in the group's largest markets, namely, before all, Germany, but also Austria, Poland, Slovakia, and Hungary. In 2016, our group generated about three quarters of the output volume in these countries I just mentioned before. We now come to the EBIT and EBITDA figures given on page number four. As you might probably recall, in the second quarter of the previous year, our results had included earnings in the amount of almost 28 million euros from the sale of a minority shareholding related to the acquisition of the minority interests in our subsidiary Süblin of Stuttgart that cannot or could not be assigned to the operating business. Adjusted for this effect of 28 million euros, the EBITDA in the six-month period increased by 17% from 129 million to 151 million euros due to a number of effects from numerous different projects. Without adjusting the previous year's earnings, and this is the slide we have given you in our report, the EBITDA fell slightly by 4%. When I come to the EBIT, it is still negative as usual in the first 6 months, and it came to rest at minus 33 million euros. This represents again an improvement of 33% when adjusted for the positive one-off effect in the previous year I just mentioned, but it means also a decline of 57% if unadjusted as given on the slide. In the second quarter, the adjusted EBIT grew by 14% and amounted to almost 111 million, while unadjusted it fell by 11%. We now come to page number five, the net income after minorities. Our net interest income this year fell from minus 6 million to minus 37 million euros. This is due to negative internal exchange rate differences from minus 28 million after positive exchange rate differences of plus 9 million in the comparison period of the previous year. It relates especially to the development of the Chilean peso currency and to the Polish zloty. This year, the third-party shareholders bore a loss of minus 1.3 million euros. In the previous year's comparison period, until April, there had still been minority shareholdings in Stuttgart-based Süblin. This figure amounted still to minus 8 million euros. These effects resulted in a net income after minorities, non-adjusted, of minus 60.4 million euros. With 102,600,000 outstanding shares, this corresponds to earnings per share, as given on the right-hand side of the slide, of minus 59 cents after minus 24 cents in the first half year of the previous year. When I come to the balance sheet, I would like to draw your attention to page number six. At euros 10.5 billion, the balance sheet total, as usual, was nearly unchanged versus 31st December 2016. This figure was heavily influenced by the seasonally usual growth of trade receivables, with a corresponding decline of the cash and cash equivalents. At the same time, an increase was registered in the trade payables as well. But you also see that the inventories rose as well, and this was due because of considerable increase in real estate development property. The equity ratio remained high at 29.9% compared to 31.5% at the end of 2016. On the 30th of June 2016, the equity ratio amounted to 29.6%. Our net cash position stood at 95.3 million euros, decreasing, as it is usually due to the seasonal development, versus the year-end figure, but turning from the net debt position that had existed at the end of the comparison period last year. We now come to our cash flow development given on slide number 7. Our cash flow from operating activities at minus 200 million was significantly less deep in negative territory than in the first half of the previous year, when it had still amounted to minus 623 million. This was due above all to the increase in trade payables, which in the first half of 2016 had been reduced due to an unusually high level of advance payments on the 1st of January of this year. The cash flow from investing activities, with a slightly higher level of investments in property, plant and equipment, but an inflow of funds from changes to the scope of consolidation following the sale of a project development, was also less negative than in the first half of the previous year. Our cash flow from financing activities stood at minus 19 million after minus 345 million in the previous year, when the figure had been strongly influenced by the acquisition of the shares of Züblin in Stuttgart. Additionally, last year, Strabag SE paid out the shareholder dividends already in the second quarter. This year, we did it in the first part of the third quarter due to the date of our General Assembly this year. We now come to our three operational segments, and as usual, I want to start with our biggest single segment, which is North and West, comprising our construction activities in Germany, and the Benelux states, Scandinavia, and Poland. The output volume of the segment stood at 2.8 billion euros after the first 6 months of 2017, and this corresponds to a plus of 9% year on year. The development here reflects the growth in transportation infrastructures, especially in Germany, the largest single market of our group, which can be explained by the high order backlog at the end of 2016 and by the relatively favorable weather conditions during the period under report. Thanks in part to improved project earnings in Germany and Denmark, it was possible to contain the seasonally usual negative in EBIT of the segment at minus 63 million after a minus of 73 million in the previous year. The order backlog of North and West was also influenced by the development in Germany as well as in Poland, growing by a plus of 14% year on year to 8.2 billion euros. The most important new projects acquired in the first half of 2017 include, inter alia, the construction of a production facility for an automobile manufacturer, as well as a new factory for a provider of electronic components both in Germany. In Poland, Strabag was hired to modernize a 20-kilometer section of railways between Krakow and Rudice and to expand the metropolitan rail line serving Krakow's suburbs. A word on the segment outlook for the full year of 2017. The output volume in North and West is expected to grow in a year-on-year comparison, an assumption that to a large degree is already covered by the existing order backlog and also by the development of the first half year. The German building construction and civil engineering business is continuing to contribute positively to both output volume and earnings of the group. By binding subcontractors and suppliers at an early stage, attempts are being made to counter the capacity bottleneck in the face of the good employment situation and the upwards price trend which we currently see in this market. An overall positive outlook is also expected in the German transportation infrastructures business for the years to come. Due to the high volume of public sector tenders, the segment in this country registered a historic high in the order backlog on 30th of June 2017. In spring of 2016, the German government had announced substantially increased investments in transportation infrastructures. The plan of the German federal government foresees a total of around 265 billion euros for more efficient transport networks until 2030. Due to the higher number of tenders in the region-wide business, the number of tender participants is on the decline, so that prices overall are moderately on the rise. Meanwhile, the large project business is not benefiting from the good tender situation, Despite the growing project volume, however, the competitive pressure remains very high. In the German railway construction business, the volume of tenders is experiencing continuous growth, and also large projects here are hotly contested, albeit from a smaller group of bidders in railway construction. The better demand in transportation infrastructures has led to an increased scarcity of construction materials, but thanks to our own asphalt production activities, this has expressed itself in a significant growth of the production volumes and a corresponding development in the construction materials business. In Poland, the tender volumes in the construction sector grew slightly in the first half of this year. At the same time, the Polish government added new routes to its transportation infrastructures program and so adjusted the volume upwards. The completion is now being aggressive in its pricing, however. A better situation can be seen in railway construction in Poland, where we have already been able to land several new contracts this year. Activity from public sector clients in the Polish building construction and civil engineering business remains strong. Overall output growth in the low double-digit percentage can be expected in Poland in 2017. In Benelux and Scandinavia, the other markets of the segment, the upward trends of the markets remains unbroken. In the years to come, the Danish construction industry will be especially interesting for German construction companies. Investments totaling more than 60 billion euros are planned in Denmark by the year 2023, including projects such as bridges, roads, railways, and the revitalization of urban industrial areas. Let's now come to the second biggest segment of the group on page number 9, which is South and East, comprising our construction business in the core market of Austria, Switzerland, and the CEE region, including Russia. This segment generated an output volume of 1.8 billion euros in the first 6 months of 2017, which means a plus of 7% more than in the same period of the preceding year. Driving this growth were markets like Austria and Hungary. In other markets, for example, in Romania, the output volume, however, was down in a year-on-year comparison. The positive EBIT of the segment registered last year continued to improve from 7 million to 37.7 million thanks to the development in several countries, including Hungary and Russia. The order backlog of South and East is also showing very positive development. The figure of 4.1 billion euros at the end of the second quarter represents a plus of 14% versus 30th of June 2016. This growth was driven mainly by large orders in the group's core markets. For instance, in Austria, numerous building construction contracts in Vienna, among other projects, are helping to fill the order books. In Hungary, Strabag is working on new roads and rail orders, an art storage facility, and a section of the R67 expressway. In Slovakia, the group is awarded a contract for the site development of the Nitra Industrial Park. In Russia, Strabag has landed its first substantial order in a long time, specifically a luxury apartment complex in Moscow, with a contract value in the mid-double-digit million euro sector. When it comes to the outlook for the full year of 2017, we expect to be able to grow the output of the segment and to keep the margins at an attractive level. In our home market of Austria, the building construction market in the greater Vienna area continues to exhibit dynamic growth. In contrast, transportation infrastructures and civil engineering is characterized by intense competition there. The situation in Slovakia had been characterized by large EU-financed infrastructure projects with a focus on the automobile industry and sports infrastructure. The relatively high volume of tenders led to higher prices for subcontractor services and to a scarcity of qualified staff. In the Czech Republic, projects mostly had involved private clients in building construction and civil engineering. Now the trend is reversed. Tendering activity is increasing significantly in the Czech Republic and falling back in Slovakia. In view of several public tenders in Hungary, we register a promising economic framework in this country. However, the prices for subcontractor services are rising here too. The medium-term planning is therefore more conservative on our side. The market volume for us in Switzerland is stagnating at a high level, yet the price situation remains tense. Still, business is developing according to plan there. The market in Southeast Europe also remains a hotly contested one. Many international competitors are vying for few projects, with the result that high price pressure dominates the situation. This is true in both building construction and civil engineering, as well as in transportation infrastructures. In Russia, loans to industry are still only hesitatingly being granted by the banks, and the interest rates remain rather high. However, several private programs in the residential construction segment came on the market. With our many years of experience in the construction of residential property, mainly in the luxury segment in large Russian cities, we should be able to benefit from this development. I would now like to draw your attention to the development of our third operational segment, which is international and special divisions, given on page number 10. This segment comprises our tunneling activities, our real estate development, public-private partnership, and our building materials business. In the first 6 months of 2017, the output volume of the segment increased by 17% and amounted to 1.6 billion euros. The development there was driven especially by large projects in our core markets of Germany, Austria, and the Americas. In the first half of the previous year, the sale of a real estate project development had resulted already in unusually high revenue and a positive EBIT of a little bit more than 7 million euros. This year, as it is more usual for the season, the figure remains still in negative terrain with 6.5 million minus. In contrast to this, the order backlog fell back by 10% versus the 3rd of June 2016 and amounted to 4.1 billion euros. In Austria, orders grew from a contract related to the Brenner Base Tunnel and from the tunneling works for the GKI power plant being carried out in a consortium at Tirol. A negative effect on the orders came in the first quarter of 2017 from an Italian transportation infrastructures project. With regard to the outlook for the rest of 2017, it should be possible also in this segment to generate a slightly higher output volume as in the year before. The real estate development business continues to show unchanged positive development, and the economic framework as well as the project pipeline gives reason for further optimism in 2017. Close observation of interest rates and property prices is, however, necessary. While the demand for commercial and residential properties remains undiminished, the property prices, especially in Germany's cities, show a considerable upward momentum that will make it increasingly challenging to initiate new projects developments profitably in the long term. Overheating in large German cities remains possible at least locally. We have therefore been expanding our activities in real estate development to include other countries and other market segments. Besides Germany, the company now is also active in project developments in Austria, Poland, and also starting in Romania. The property and facility services business, which is also in this segment, is expected to make another quite positive contribution to the earnings. In the second quarter of 2017, Telefonica of Germany entrusted Strabag with the technical and infrastructure facility management of all its administration buildings and shops in several German federal states. The increasingly scarce human resources, as well as the extremely low price level, are making it more difficult to do business profitably in tunneling, especially in Austria. On the other hand, the tunneling business is expected to show renewed growth from large infrastructure projects in Canada, to a certain degree in the United States, and especially in the UK, where a consortium including Strabag in July 2017 was awarded the billion euro contract for Britain's new HS2 high-speed railway line between London and Birmingham. In Asia, the higher standards for the water supply in the continent's big cities should also open up new business opportunities for the micro-tunneling business. A special case in the tunneling business is our project in Chile called Alto Maipo, which is a hydropower plant in the region southeast from Santiago de Chile, the capital of the country. As you have probably seen, we have included some words about this project in our contingent liabilities section of the half year's report, which is due to the current intransparent situation of our employer being an SPV, majority owned by a U.S. power generation company. The situation, as I pointed out before, is still unclear. As usually, we have a very conservative project evaluation, but for the time being, it cannot be seen, cannot be stated which development this project will take. I now come to another activity of the segment, which is the construction materials business. This is, as usually, strongly tied to the construction economy of the individual countries where we are actively in. Thanks to the high tendering activity in transportation infrastructures, the situation with regard to concrete and stone and gravel is especially positive in Eastern Europe. High demand has led to a higher level of production, but competitive pressure has been keeping prices stable. I may now come to the summary of our first half year, which is a confirmation of the outlook for 2017, which we have given in the beginning of the year. The positive trend for our group that set in at the beginning of the year continues to this day. The order backlog is again at a record high. The output volume growth was in the double digits in the first half of the year, and the operating earnings have increased. The positive development, as I pointed out before, is however not immediately clear at first glance due to the one-off effect in the previous year, which we had clearly disclosed at that time. The figures for the second quarter of 2016 had included a non-operating, non-recurring profit from the sale of a minority shareholding related to the acquisition of the remaining minority interests in Züblin, and as I pointed out before, this one-off effect had amounted to a plus of 28 million euros last year. We have been reporting both figures, adjusted and unadjusted, ever since. This makes it possible now to clearly show that following an adjustment for this distortion effect in the comparison figures of 2016, the result is a considerable earnings improvement. I am therefore very pleased again being able to confirm that our expectations for the full year are confirmed. The output volume should rise at least to 14 billion euros, and the EBIT margin should again reach at least 3% on sales. This was it as a summary for the first half year 2017 for Strabag SE's group, and now I'm very glad to answer your eventual questions. Thank you very much for your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from a question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please leave the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Markus Remis with RCB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Dr. Bettel. A couple of questions, please. Firstly, relating to Germany and the issue of rising subcontractor prices. I mean, we've seen your Austrian rival kind of suffering to quite from this effect. I would be interested to hear your view to which extent this might pose a risk to your profitability and to your strategy. Are you also trying to find new subcontractors, or how are you gonna deal with the scarcity? So that would be the first question, please.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Remis. I think the wording of our competitor was not really focusing on the subcontractor development, which is a normal development in times as the current times. I think their situation differs from ours because they had been undergoing a rather intense growth process in the recent past. They have taken over several companies, and they had, as they pointed out, integrational cost. And this, for me, is the difference between our current situation and theirs. With regard to subcontractors, the situation is similar. I could refer to the fact that our network of let's say of raw materials resources, of course, is a bigger one, that we have more own personnel. But I would also say, and I think I'm in line there with the comment of our competitor Paul, that the major problem in such a booming market as Germany currently is the own staff, human resources. We are eagerly looking for additional collaborators, and the market is rather dry in this country. There is no way out, and that is why we have always underpinned that the good situation does not automatically mean that our margins are going up as well without any end, but they are limited to a certain extent by the fact that not only revenue is going up, but also cost. So it's a normal development. What we do not see for us, given our current situation, is the integrational cost factor, which we don't have.
Yeah, sure. No kind of inflation, kind of cost inflation that is not reflected in the kind of in the contract structure.
I wouldn't see that, because it is not a boom which came out of the blue of the sky, but it is developing rather slowly. Especially in the public sector, we have always said that development is rather slow, and we are still in a period where the order backlogs are going up. Mm. I expect that a stable situation and a stable high level will only be reached by the middle of next year. So we are still in a growing period, which also means that on the subcontractor side and on the staffing side, the problems could continue to increase, but on the other hand, as the market is going up, we also expect a positive price development.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Regarding Switzerland, in the outlook statement, you've kind of referred that the Swiss operations will remain, I think, loss-making was the wording, in this year. And then if I read the comments in the South and East segment, here it says that business is developing according to plan. If you could please put that into perspective and maybe describe what is causing the losses in Switzerland. Is that a specific project or other factors behind?
No, it's not a specific project. It is an overall problem of the market. It is a rather dense competition, and the price level is not satisfactory. Especially in Switzerland, we have the problem of a very dry labor market, and the personal costs are extremely high. So the development is not positive, as you pointed out rightly before, but it is still according to plan, because the plan was realistic. But it's no specific single problem project. It's an overall market condition, which is, I think, the same for everybody, and that is the reason why some major Swiss competitors are looking for other markets as well, for instance, for Germany, as Implenia does, for instance.
Yeah. Okay, so if I understood you correct, you had very thin margins right from the beginning, and this cost inflation is now turning then the business into losses.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. A question regarding your financial statement. I mean, earnings quality in the second quarter, from my point of view, is, I would say, rather mediocre. And we've seen in the P&L a big increase from the changes in inventories, which I think is also then evidenced by the cash flow statement. If you could maybe elaborate a bit on what has driven this substantial increase, and I haven't, or have tried to reconcile it with the past. I mean, such a figure has never been shown in the first half. So any help?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is also, let's say, to be explained, and I think I made a remark about that in my presentation with regard to the development, especially in our real estate development segment. because, as you might recall, it is the first time that we have Raiffeisen Evolution in the first half year.
Mm-hmm.
We took it over by the end of last year, and now 2017 is the first year which sees the consolidation of the Raiffeisen Evolution activities in our books from the 1st January onwards, which means a strong increase and enhancement of our real estate development activities. That refers to existing Raiffeisen Evolution projects, which we have taken over with the company, but that also, of course, refers to new projects, which the new Strabag Real Estate GmbH, which is the current name of Raiffeisen Evolution in our group, is developing along with Mishek, which is the traditional brand which we had, especially in Vienna region. So this is according to plan, and this is very much in line and positively in line with our concept once we decided to take over the 100% of Raiffeisen Evolution.
Okay, thank you. And lastly, regarding the buyout of Strabag AG minorities, that is still to happen in the third quarter?
Yes, that is the expectation. As predicted, we have applied for the so-called Freigabeverfahren with the local court of Cologne, and of course now it depends on the time plan of the court in Cologne when it will take a decision, and that might be in the late third quarter or in the early fourth quarter, let's say by the end of September or early October. And as I pointed out before, the expectation is optimistic because evidence shows that in similar cases, almost in every single case, the court has decided in favor of the execution of the merger, which is the instrument which we have chosen for squeezing out the minority shareholders in Strabag AG of Cologne.
All right, okay. The cash out is 77 million?
That is the cash out or the expected cash out for the outstanding shares, that is correct. Yeah. On top of that, we have always pointed out that we will see a burden out of the real estate transfer tax because a lot of ground and real estate property will come 100% into the group, and the figure related to the real estate transfer tax had been estimated at about 14 million on top of the 77 you mentioned before.
1-4. 1-4,
yes.
1-4, okay.
1-4. Mm-hmm.
All right, okay. And how would then the minority position on the balance sheet look like? Would it be kind of almost zero, I guess?
Yes, it would get almost nil. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Remis.
The next question comes from the line of Daniel Lyon with Erste. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I would like to focus a little bit on the order book level, maybe the current level, including the UK order that you signed now. In the third quarter, maybe you can give us an update of the current order book level, how it looks like. And as you mentioned, that order book, or at least the tender growth in Germany should be somehow reach a new normalized level in mid 2018. And also, of course, reflecting on the positive development currently seeing in the CEE region in terms of activity pickup, what kind of order or output level would you see yourself being able to generate with the current setup with the of the company, maybe just a range, just to get a feeling of where you might see maybe an organizational limit in terms of production volume or output volume, just to get a feeling on how this, This would be my two questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lyon. It's very important with regard to the HS2 project in the UK to underpin that for the time being we have just a very small figure in our books out of this project, which is about 70 million or something, because this is a pre-contract and the final closure of the big contract, which will be about 2 billion euros for three partners, out of which we have 32%, is still to come. So this is not yet included in our figures, and the amount which we already have in the books out of this project is a rather small one, which is not really coining the order backlog. With regard to the let's say the eventual theoretical ceiling of the backlog and the output we could generate with our resources, it is true that, of course, we have a certain limit regarding our resources, but it is very difficult to say where the, let's say, the absolute maximum of the output volume could be, because that would depend very much on the segment in which orders can be taken in. If I may give an example, with regard to building construction, we rely to a very large extent on subcontractors, about 70%, to take an average amount, about 70% of our output are being generated via subcontractors. And that means that we are far more flexible with resources in regard of the building construction activities. The contrary is true for road construction. With regard to mere road construction projects, the usage of own resources is far bigger. You could again take a figure of about 70% of the output in road construction, which is being generated with own resources. This means that our own resources, personnel, but also raw material and so on, are limiting our activities far more in road construction than in building construction. And now it depends on the mix, whether huge new projects would more intensely come in road construction or in building and civil. It is true, however, that the remaining growth perspectives in Germany now, given the very high level on the building side for some years now, and given the fact that it is just road construction which is going up right now and in my eyes till the middle of next year, means that this limit is has to be in our view. So I would not be able to quote a specific amount, but I would underpin that we are already feeling the scarcity of resources on the road construction side in Germany. So it's not a growth without limits, that goes without saying. Also the public tenders will reach a certain level somewhere, and then it will remain stable. It won't go up without any limit. It will become stable, as I pointed out before, by the middle of next year. But I think there is still some growth, let's say, possible also with the given resources.
Okay. Yeah, very interesting. And maybe a last one, just to make sure, have you, reflecting on the Chilean project, also maybe on the situation in Switzerland, but also on the cartel, how to say, story in Austria, is there any provisioning that you made so far for any of these three developments, or are you currently still watching the developments and more clearance?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Leon. The point that we mentioned, the cartel investigations and the Chilean project Alto Maipo under contingent liabilities, as well as the Cologne underground case, means that we don't see any reason nor any indication for a specific provision due to the facts we reveal under contingent liabilities. That does not mean that, for instance, for Alto Maipo, we would not have made the usual conservative provisions for the operational business, which we have already done in 2015, by the way, and in 2016, and we mentioned it there. But the specific intransparent financial situation of the employer had not yet been foreseen, and till today there is no indication whether there could be something necessary, and the same goes for the Cologne case and also for the cartel case, which is, as you probably recall, a long-lasting one because it covers 10 years and it covers more than 100 rather small projects. So there is something, but we don't have any indication whether there is a reason for a provision in there. I don't recall a Swiss case. If you could specify what you have in mind.
Just because of the current situation with that you mentioned also, that the business is getting more difficult due to cost pressure. So I was just wondering if there's anything.
Not anything specific, of course. Where we see coming losses, we make conservatively provisions. What we have always done, and this I think that's the general policy of the group for many years now.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Leon.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by one on your telephone. We have a follow-up question from the line of Markus Remis with RCB. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Coming back to the burden from the real estate transfer tax you mentioned before, the 14 million, would that be P&L effective, and is that included in your guidance, or would you consider that as a one-off item?
No, it's part of the price for the shares. So it has always been included in our cash burden estimate for the buyout of the outstanding shares. So it has to do with the acquisition of the outstanding 6.7% shares in
Starwell. Okay.
It's a cash burden.
But it's not in the P&L.
No.
Okay, very clear. And then regarding the financial result, I mean, we've seen quite an impact from currency. I think mostly the Polish zloty.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's hard to make an estimate for this, but purely from the direction, do you see that reversing in the second half, or is it? As far as I understand it, it's kind of always a balance sheet date issue.
Yeah.
but as the base has now grown into the first half, should there be if say the exchange rate remains stable, there would not be an incremental burden.
Yeah, that's a true assumption. But
okay.
If you have a look at the development, for instance, of the euro versus the US dollar, which was quite astonishing, even the experts. It is, as you pointed out before, it is very difficult to predict.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't dare to make a prediction. I would be a rich man if I could.
Yeah. Okay, no, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Thomas Bertel for closing comments.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for your interest and your attention. And as usual, I'm very much looking forward to speaking to you again when we present our third quarter figures in autumn 2017. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.